warning. The Catholic Man Show contains high levels of manliness. If you think you may be too weak to withstand the manliness represented in the following program, please do yourself a favor and stop listening now. If you choose to continue in spite of this warning, if at any time you feel yourself overcome by the manliness, stop immediately and consult your closest medical professional. And now, for the not so fair, faint, or frilly, we present The Catholic Man Show.
Welcome to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles.
I'm Father Danny Grover.
I'm joined by Father Danny Grover today.
Yeah, that's me.
Poor Adam Minahan.
It happens.
He's downstairs on the couch.
Just out cold.
He is sick. He's a sick man. Yeah, with a cold or whatever. I don't know what it is.
Either way, he's down there and we're up here.
He sounds terrible.
He does.
I will tell you that.
Yeah.
And so we're sparing you all out of mercy.
That would go on.
Just listening to his pathetic voice today.
Yeah, it would be horrible.
It would. I don't want to do it. Also, I don't want him breathing in the same room as me. I told him that.
Yeah.
So, he won't be joining us. We were hoping. The plan was for us all to be together today, but God had other plans.
And you know what's said when we make plans, God just laughs at us.
That's true.
True.
I think he does that a lot.
Yeah. The platypus.
The platypus.
Laugh. That's it.
What is the platypus laugh? For those who don't know.
Well, I mean, like, God made the platypus and just, and he just laughed.
Yes. I also laugh at the platypus. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Very much so.
Does it really serve a purpose? Like,
it does. And that's what I'm going to get to later, hopefully.
Okay.
That everything does serve a purpose, even when we laugh at it. And even when God laughs at it, there's still a purpose for it.
Is it possible that something's purpose is to be laughed at?
Well, I look in the mirror and I laugh. So yes, I would say yes. Yes, very much so. Yeah.
You're speaking my language.
Exactly.
So, like I said, we're without Adam today. I would imagine by the time this airs, he will be well. But prayers, they function outside of time. So you could always pray for him. And maybe it will be your prayers be the reason why he's well.
Because that's how God works.
He does.
He does.
He does. So I was hanging out with Patrick Coffin this weekend. So we were, Adam and I and Juan were at the In the Father's Footsteps Men's Conference, and Patrick Coffin was there. And so we got to, Juan and I went and hung out with him at the, this like a cigar lounge.
Ugh.
And so he was telling us about a study that was done where they actually took these children who were all born with the same blood disease.
Okay.
And it was a blind study. So they had many, many people praying for certain kids, and then there was a control group that was not prayed for.
Now, by saying blind study, were they blind? Was that the disease, or was it like a blind study?
No, it's just a blood disease. I don't know exactly what the disease was, but they found a significant statistical difference
in those that were prayed for.
And the thing is that these kids were all born 5 years ago. Were all born 5 years before the study was done. So they already were better.
Huh.
And it just so happened that the ones that got better were the ones that happened to be prayed for. So it was a very, very interesting study. It's like, what does that prove? I'm not sure.
What it proves is God isn't bound by our space and time and our understanding of space and time.
Right. Yeah. So anyway, it's a very interesting thing that was like a study trying to prove the power of intercessory prayer.
Yeah. Just like the efficaciousness of prayer.
Totally.
Awesome.
Okay. So the three things we do every episode, it's weird. Typically, Adam asks me this question.
What are the three things we do every episode, David?
Dave, what are the three things we do? The three things we do every episode are open, review, and enjoy a manly beverage.
Because you must.
Because those three things... Well, that's the first thing we do. Yeah. That's the first thing we do. It is a good thing to do.
It is. Because without liquid, we don't have life.
True. And in fact, whiskey means, in Gaelic, it means water of life.
And I'm Irish.
Are you?
I am.
There you go. Yeah. It's almost like you knew it.
I know. I didn't have a clue.
Well, God, in Genesis, God looked at what he created and he saw that it was good.
He did.
And whiskey was part of that creation.
Oh, true story.
So today we're drinking a whiskey.
Which is always a good thing to do.
We also do other things on the show. Second segment, we highlight a man gear.
Okay.
And then the last half of the show, we have a discussion. We got a great discussion today.
We do. I'm excited about it.
At least we have a good topic. I can't say we have a great discussion. It hasn't happened yet. But
in God's time, it has. Circling back. You ready to see how that works? Ah, so amazing.
It's like a Catholic hack.
I know.
Okay, so today we are drinking Four Roses. We have done Four Roses before, but we have never done the small batch.
Ooh.
Which is what we're doing now.
Which is just extra special.
So this is a straight bourbon whiskey, which means that it is... great. Now I don't remember what the straight bourbon means, but it's a Kentucky bourbon, which means it was a bourbon in Kentucky.
Now, having gone to seminary near the Bourbon Trail in Kentucky, was it from the Bourbon Trail in Kentucky? Anywhere near where that Bourbon Trail is, which is
Kentucky? I don't know where this is. This is Lawrenceburg, Kentucky.
I couldn't tell you.
I'm going to say this. I'm going to go out on a limb and that a straight bourbon whiskey means it's a single barrel. But I have looked this up maybe four or five times. And it's like, oh yeah, that's what it means.
And you forget it every
time.
And
then I forget.
So if you're curious about what a straight bourbon whiskey single barrel is,
Google it.
Yeah. Because that's what we've got
for. There's this thing, it's called Google, and it knows everything.
Very much so.
In fact, you can ask it, Google, who started the Catholic Church?
Jesus. Did you see that video?
Yeah, it's incredible.
Gosh, it was amazing.
I was like, wow. I'm really surprised about that.
I showed that to my office at Corpus Christi Catholic Church in Oklahoma City, and they just could not stop laughing. Because
we are
in a very Protestant area in Oklahoma City. We're on the northeast side and surrounded by Baptist churches. And who created the Catholic Church?
Jesus Christ.
Winner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can say, but you can ask it at any of the churches. Who started the Baptist Church or the Methodist Church or the Lutheran? You know, it's like, and it will tell you.
This person.
Yeah. In
Catholic
this
church,
year.
Jesus.
Yeah. In the year 33 or 30. 30 in the year 30.
So since Google knows Jesus,
33
should be
cheers to Jesus. We're on the Lord's team,
the winning side.
So raise your glass. Cheers to Jesus.
Cheers to Jesus. It's good, a little nasally.
Yeah. So I'm going to try to play Adam's role. He is really the tongue of the duo between us. But immediately when I drank this, I got a little hint of banana.
Really?
Yeah, just right away. It's Four Roses, first of all, is super good.
Oh yeah, smooth.
It's a it's a bourbon, but there's like a sweetness to Four Roses, and I don't know if it's like a psychological effect of like associating it with like the smell of a sweet rose. I don't think that's what it is. I think there really is a sweetness to it. And it's so good for that reason. It kind of reminds me in some ways of Maker's Mark.
But smoother.
It is maybe a little bit smoother. I actually haven't had Maker's Mark in a long time. Typically these days I get the Maker's 56, Maker's 46.
One of the sixes.
It's been a long day. So I'm just the, disclosure. My memory might not work all that great today. Who knows? But the 46, I think it is 46. It is like their top shelf makers.
Okay.
Very, very good. Highly recommend it. This Four Roses, there's a story behind this. We were at the men's conference in Wichita about 3 weeks ago, 3 or 4 weeks ago. And I was sitting there talking to some guys, telling them how, one of the best things about having the man show is that people will just send us whiskey and beer. It just shows up on the front porch. It's amazing.
That is amazing.
It is.
Yeah.
It's like a gift from God.
So
with somebody else's name.
It's like the whiskey genie. Just you talk about it and shows up.
Like, I need to look up the patron saint of whiskey and like thank him for interceding for us on so many occasions. So anyway, I was telling this to these gentlemen and they were laughing like, no way. And they said, you mean like, people who distill or, like they want you to promote their product? And I said, yeah, that's happened only once or maybe twice. Mostly it's just guys saying, hey, this is my favorite.
Hey, you got to try this, man.
Right. Yeah. And they send it to us. No sooner had I said that did a guy walk up and hand us a brown paper sack with this bottle of four roses in it. And it was like,
it's meant to be.
I told you this.
I did not make this up. So, I promise.
And I was in the middle of talking to these guys. And so Adam was talking to the guy who gave this to us. So I didn't even catch the guy's name. It was a tall gentleman with dark hair in the Wichita area.
That had good taste.
With clearly good taste.
Yes.
And is also clearly, you know, like high up there on the awesomeness scale.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So to you, sir, whoever you are, I raise my glass to you that good fortune may fall upon you, that the smile of our Lord may also befall you, that your children may be well behaved, and
your children's children as well.
And your children's children, and your children's children's children,
children
would all be found and counted among the number of heaven.
Amen.
Cheers to this man.
And to Jesus.
And to Jesus.
Amen.
And Our Lady. So I think I haven't had four roses in a while, but I think I like the small batch better.
Yeah, I'm one that when it comes to whiskey, bourbon, brandy, whatever it is, I prefer to mix it because it always has a bite. I could see myself drinking this straight like we are right now.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
No mixer, no chaser needed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It really is very smooth, which is kind of a thing of four roses. You know, they're a very smooth bourbon. Bourbon, I think, bourbon kind of gets a rap as not being as smooth as a scotch sometimes.
Yeah. But,
man, it's good.
It's
fantastic.
Yeah.
All right, when we get back, we're going to jump into the man gear. Yep. Got a good man gear for you today, so hang on. We'll be right back. This is the Catholic Man Show with Adam Minahan and David Niles, joined today by Father Danny Grover. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Amen.
David Niles.
And I'm Father Danny Grover.
You're listening to the Catholic Man Show. Today, our man gear is a solid man gear.
It is. I mean, could you get more solid than this?
I don't know. It's like, could you get more manly than Jesus?
Ecce, no.
Ecce
no.
homo.
Yeah.
Ecce homo, my friend. Yeah. Behold the man.
I'm telling you.
So the man gear today is the Divine Mercy image.
Which is divine and merciful.
And is Jesus.
And it's so, an image, yeah.
And it's not just the image itself, but the man gear is having the Divine Mercy image somewhere in a place of pride in your home where it can be venerated.
Yeah.
Because the Divine Mercy, the mercy of Christ, is something to be worshipped, actually. It's difficult to separate Jesus's mercy, God's mercy from himself.
You can't do it.
You can't do it. And so, like, it's over and over and over and over again in St. Faustina's diary, Jesus comes to her and says, I want people to worship my mercy. And so that's what I want to talk about. You actually made a pilgrimage.
Yeah. My first year as a priest, actually, I think about a month after I met you and Adam, I went on a pilgrimage to Poland, Austria, Hungary, the Czech Republic, and Slovakia. One of the most...
all at once?
All at once. It was a 10-day trip. It was just insane. But one of the places we went to was the Divine Mercy Shrine. And what was interesting, so every place we go on this pilgrimage...
In Poland.
Yeah. In Poland.
Mm-hmm. Is it in Warsaw?
It's outside. It's either Warsaw or Krakow. I get them mixed up.
Okay.
But in Poland.
Yeah.
But I remember that same day, we went to Auschwitz in the morning... One of the most somber places you could go. We would go Auschwitz, you go Birkenau, concentration camps, and then you go to Divine Mercy.
And wow, what a powerful day.
Oh my goodness. And so we get there, and the chapel that we were supposed to have was the Hungarian chapel. We get there, and wouldn't you know it, someone's already in there saying Mass. They're like, oh, we're sorry, Father, we don't have a chapel for you. It's like, but we're here for Mass. I mean, we've traveled from the United States. They said, Americans. Well, we're here to celebrate Mass at the Divine Mercy Chapel. Well, hold on, let me check. So they bring us to the Faustina Chapel with her relics, and they say, would it be okay if you celebrate Mass
here?
It's like, is this a trick question?
Well, fine. If we must.
If I must. Okay, we can do that. It was...
But you owe me big time.
I'm telling. It was one of the most amazing experiences because we thought, okay, we'll be able to go and you can go and get this here and get this here. And wait, I'm saying mass. I've been ordained for 5 minutes and I get to say mass with the relics of Saint Faustina. Wow.
Yeah.
It was just amazing, spectacular. There are not enough words in the human language to express the mercy that I felt while celebrating mass at that place.
So one thing I've learned about by reading her diary, I was just telling you off the air that I just started the sixth journal, which is the last journal of her set of journals, is that I've realized that all grace, it comes from God's mercy.
Yeah.
All grace is an act of mercy by God because it's just like reading her diary. And I've talked about this recently on the show that I'm doing this. It is definitely, for me, at this point in my life, the most spiritual thing I've ever read. Like, it impacts my spiritual outlook more than anything I've ever read.
That's awesome.
And I'm not super well read. So, I mean, that I don't want to overstate, you know, what it is, but it is having a deep impact on me.
Yeah.
And it's like you read her diary and nothing has made me feel like a bigger piece of crap and at the same time, so happy about it.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's like, I am a terrible person and that it just,
and it brings me joy.
Right. But like, oh, it feels so good, you know? And especially to see some of the things that Jesus says to her.
Oh my gosh.
Like, yes, you are, like, yes, you are total, just worthlessness, but I love you anyway. My mercy has redeemed you, you know.
And my mercy endures forever.
Right, yeah. And just, it is such a hopeful thing to read. I recommend it highly, highly, highly. Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of those things that you can't just read. You have to mm-hmm. almost do Lexio with it
mm-hmm.
because it is just so, wait, what did she just say?
Right.
And you really have to just chew and gnaw on those words. And every sentence, every paragraph just brings you deeper into that unmerited grace, that unmerited love, that unmerited mercy that God has for us, He wants for us, and that He creates us. And it is just so amazing.
Yeah. So part of this, the whole divine mercy thing is that He wanted the image to be venerated.
Yeah.
And that he told Faustina, Saint Faustina, that souls would be brought to him and to his mercy by veneration of the image. And so we were thinking, oh, maybe we should wait until Easter.
Or the Divine Mercy Sunday.
Yeah, yeah, to talk about this. But I wanted to talk about it now so that you would have time. Men who don't have the image in their house
could then be prepared.
Have time to go out and get it in your house.
Exactly.
The Sunday after Easter is Divine Mercy Sunday. This was part of the mission that our Lord gave to Saint Faustina to have this. There's already a Feast of Mercy. And so she, at least there was in the old calendar, there was at the time. She got a lot of kind of like resistance.
Because, a lot of flack for it.
Like, what do we need this for? We already have a Feast of Mercy.
Why are you changing things?
Now we have a Feast of Divine Mercy, you know, like, so, but it was God's will, and thus it happened.
And it was done.
The image, if you don't know what it is, once again, Google it, but it is a picture of Jesus standing, touching his heart with his right hand.
I'd have to Google it.
We don't have it here in the studio.
The irony of that.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Divine Mercy. Yeah. We don't have an image here. Know,
this is Adam's house, so if it were my house.
Just saying. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Anyway, he's touching his heart, and he's got blue and red, pale red rays coming out from his heart. And those rays are supposed to represent the blood and water which poured out of his heart when his heart was pierced by the lance on the cross, it says, and blood and water came out. And that was the font of mercy that was poured out upon the world by his pierced heart. Hmm. And, you know, I heard it said just recently that it wasn't that killed Jesus. It wasn't the crucifixion. Jesus died of love for us.
Yeah. And that's one of the interesting things when you talk about the crucifixion, it's not that they killed him, it's that he offered his life in a gift of sacrifice, in a gift of love for us.
Yeah.
Despite how wicked we are, how sinful we are, how unworthy we are of anything that we're given, mm-hmm. he says, I love you anyways.
Yeah.
And that is just, wow.
It's a great thing to meditate on during Lent, too, especially here with the, you know, the last weeks that we have, to, I think, redouble our efforts in pondering his mercy, because it just helps us to really think about our worthlessness.
Oh, yeah.
How we don't deserve anything.
Yeah.
But it was totally a gift of love. I heard a priest named Father Murray who came to Tulsa. He was at one point Mother Teresa's spiritual director.
Okay.
And he said that the nails could have never held Jesus to the cross if his love for us didn't hold him there first.
Wow. That's beautiful.
I mean, he's God.
Yeah.
You know, some thing, you know, nails, some iron is not going to hold him anywhere.
Yeah.
He created everything. And it is the only thing that could keep, that could hold him, to bind him to something, is his own will.
Which,
you know, out of his love. And his will would be, you know, restrained by his love for us. It's truly beautiful.
It really is.
To meditate on. And so having the divine mercy image is, it really is something important. Obviously, the things Jesus says, there's a lot of Jesus's words in St. Faustina's diary.
Hmm.
I mean, a lot. It's packed full of Jesus. Here's what Jesus said to St. Faustina.
Wow.
And a lot of it is like telling her, I want you to write this down. I want people to see this. And obviously, you know, this is a private revelation, so this in no way holds the...
to the Gospels.
The moral authority of the Gospels or anything in the Bible.
But still, it holds merit.
Yeah. So, but it, you know, for your own private devotion, it could, it's still important if you have that, the devotion personally. I don't think Faustina is a liar, so you know, I take her at her word this is what Jesus said, and so any word of Jesus is important, I think.
Yeah.
But the thing is, you just don't have to believe that these are Jesus's words. If you do, I do. Then heed them well. There's nothing in them that contradicts anything in the Bible, true. Obviously.
Well, and one of the great things that we get from St. Faustina, from the Divine Mercy image, and from that whole genre of trying to figure out who God is, who we are in regards to his mercy, is the Divine Mercy Chaplet.
Yes, it's so beautiful.
For those that struggle with the rosary because it's tedious and I don't get it, why do we repeat this and this?
Takes so long.
The Divine Mercy Chaplet, which on most Catholic stations comes on at 3 p.m. in the afternoon.
Yep.
And it's sung. It's something that can draw you in such a different way. For the sake of a sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, seriously, for the sake of his sorrowful passion, God, because he did this for us, have mercy on us and all mm-hmm. the whole world. It's just so, wow.
And so you pray it on the rosary, on rosary beads,
yeah.
And it takes between 3 and 4 minutes to say the whole thing.
Pretty close,
all the way around the rosary.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's because every decade, it's just for the sake of a sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Yep.
Next bead, you know, so... you can, and yeah, here on, in Tulsa, we have it at 3 o'clock.
In Oklahoma City, we do as well.
Yeah, it's the same. We are the same thing. It's a sung version. Speaking of divine mercy, if you guys could pray for the repose of the soul of Adam Minahan's grandfather, who just passed away today. So we pray that for the sake of his sorrowful passion, that Jesus God would have mercy on him and on the whole world.
Amen.
You're listening to The Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles, joined today by Father Danny Grover. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass. We'll be right back. I'm David Niles.
And I'm Father Danny Grover.
And we are your host today for the Catholic Man Show. We're happy to be here with you. We're happy that you're here with us.
Very much so.
We're drinking Four Roses, small batch bourbon. If you haven't tried it, you should go try it.
It's amazing.
Especially if you like bourbon. It seems like people tend to, if you like drink enough whiskey, you tend to gravitate one way or the other.
True.
You know, in the beginning, I wanted to be a Scotch guy because in my mind, like, Scotch drinkers were cooler.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to admit to myself finally that I'm a bourbon guy.
Yeah.
And no sooner had I finally, like, allowed myself to say that, I realized I've actually, in the meantime, become a Scotch guy.
Yeah.
Irony of ironies. Just, you know, it's difficult to know thyself sometimes.
Very much so.
But we always promote that here on the Catholic Man Show. Also, we drink in moderation. We didn't say that, but of course, today we're always, and we are today and always drinking in moderation.
The Via Media.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The middle way.
That's right. Yes. Uh-huh. Jose Maria?
Escriva?
Yeah. Yeah.
Pray for
yes.
Him.
I like it when I get things right. So, over the break, Father, I realized that I did not even tell the people who the heck you are.
That's because it's not about me.
Well, still, they're going to be like, is this guy a priest? Like, where's he from? So, Father Danny, you are Father Daniel Grover.
Yes.
A.K.A. Father Danny.
Yeah.
Who are you?
I have been ordained for about 2.5 years from the Archdiocese of Oklahoma City. I am currently the pastor of Corpus Christi Catholic Church by the capital in Oklahoma City,
mm-hmm.
as well as the pastor of St. Robert Bellarmine in Jones, Oklahoma. And then if that's not enough, I'm also the chaplain of Bishop McGinnis Catholic High School, the rival of Bishop Kelly from Tulsa.
That's right. And Adam and I are both Kelly grads, so the divine mercy is a perfect... You know, that we could just be here.
So we can be merciful here, but when it comes to the football field, we just come and slobber you and win.
Mercy?
Yeah. The mercy rule comes in because we don't just keep going.
Touche.
I know.
The only mercy we will show you is a quick death.
Yes, yes.
Martyrs on the field.
Well, the Bishop Kelly, Bishop McGinnis rivalry is a strong one. And the shillelagh.
Yeah.
Yes, the Battle of the Bishops, which is, it's a weapon, isn't it?
Oh, it is. It is a shillelagh, yeah.
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 And so there's like a, you know, whoever wins the game, they get to keep the shillelagh for the year.
Fun fact, my senior year, which would have been your sophomore year when I was at McGinnis and you were at Bishop Kelly, I was the mascot for Bishop McGinnis, mm-hmm. and I was the vice president of our student council. And so I was the highest ranking member of the student council there. So when you win, the highest member of the student council gets to go out and get the shillelagh. So I get to go out, storm on the field, get the shillelagh. Ah! This last year, as the chaplain now of Bishop McGinnis, I got to hold the shillelagh before the game. So it kind of all came full circle.
So it just kind of was a bonus that you were the mascot as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was cool.
So did you know Adam was the quarterback for Bishop Kelly?
Is that why they kept losing? I'm just kidding, Adam. We love
you. I think he was the varsity quarterback our junior and senior year. So that year...
And I think you guys won against us those years. At least one of them.
At least one of the games. Yeah, at least one of the years. You guys have enjoyed victories as of recent.
Yes.
A few in a row, as I recall.
At least two.
But anyway... you never know what God has planned for the future, Father, okay?
And that's true. I mean, how many times can McGinnis win over Bishop Kelly before it gets boring?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not so much that you're better, but that just God saw it fit to humble us.
There it is. Yeah. Humility. Mm-hmm. Which was our gospel value last year at Bishop McGinnis.
Really?
It was, yeah.
So you were the efficient cause of our humility.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
I think.
I'm just, you know, trying to be all Thomas Aquinas-y here. I just fake it, you know, and
fake it till you make it.
And it sounds good. And so people believe it.
Exactly.
Okay. So, today we are talking about, this is kind of like one of your major themes.
It is my bread and butter.
Would you do the honor of introducing the topic today?
So the topic today is the image and likeness of God. And
what that means for us.
And what that means for us, because I think many times we hear, you were created in the image and likeness of God. And we kind of leave it at that.
Yeah, and it's kind of like, don't give me that crap.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's like, because
you're created in the image and likeness of God.
But what does that mean?
It is almost insulting sometimes, like just like a cliche that you throw at somebody.
Very much so, yeah.
And it doesn't mean anything. It can be insulting.
Very much so.
If someone doesn't know what that means.
Yeah. And so for myself... The way I look at it, now being a high school chaplain, going back to the school where I was depressed, I was a loner, I was kind of doing my own thing and didn't feel like I fit in, I'm trying to figure out how I can get these kids to realize that by being created in the image and likeness of God, what that means is that God loves them.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we look at the Gospel of John, we hear that God is love. God mm-hmm. is love. And so if we look at the image of God and we use the ideology of St. Augustine of the lover, the beloved and the bond of love of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, if we see that as the image of God, then if we are created in that image of God, then we are created out of love, to integrate love, to return to love when we die.
Right.
And what's important about that is when we look at the fall of humanity, what changes isn't God's ability to love us, but our ability to return back to God in love.
Interesting.
And so what that means is that there is nothing that we can do that can ever decrease the amount of love that God has for us. That's key. Because we live in a world that tells you, you aren't good enough, you aren't smart enough, and gosh darn it, people hate you. Kind of that exact opposite. You're good enough, you're smart enough, and gosh darn it, people love you.
Right, yeah.
It's that opposite thought process in this world, this culture of death that we live in, as Pope St. John Paul II was talking about. And when we define ourselves by our actions, by our mistakes, by our sins, by our past, by our utility, we miss out on defining ourselves as the children of God. But if we integrate that love into our lives that God is calling us to, we can truly return to God in love. But it wasn't always so. So before Christ came and crucified himself, he sacrificed his life for us.
Right.
What happened to humanity when they died?
They went to the dead, the place of the dead.
Place of the dead, Sheol, the bosom of Abraham, hell, whatever you wanted to call it based on the translation.
Yeah.
What's the first thing that Jesus did after he died?
He descended into quote-unquote hell.
And then what did he do?
He ascended, and he rose again.
And he took them with him
to heaven.
So he went down into hell, into Sheol, into the bosom of Abraham, and took with him those who were meant for the kingdom, unlocked the gates, and brought them with him. So if you're a visual person like me, if you can see the circular Father, Son, Holy Spirit circle, and then you see God, us, returning to God, if that second return of God is a chasm created between heaven and earth, that Christ's cross bridges the gap that allows us to return to heaven. But we must choose it.
I see. That's a good image.
It really is. Because if we don't choose to walk upon the cross, if we don't carry our cross to return to Christ, we play wall ball with love, so the love comes back to us, and we become selfish, or our love descends to hell. It's just loveless.
Right.
So we must purposely choose love. And by doing that, what we're really doing is fulfilling our mission in life. People always come to me and say, Father, what is the meaning of life? Well, to integrate love into your life and to live. Okay, what does that mean? Well, if you are being loving, if you are being meritorious, if you are being virtuous and dispelling sin from your life and choosing Christ, no matter what you do, you're fulfilling your purpose in life.
Right, yeah.
And it's so beautiful when I can see it that way, that when we define ourselves by our sins, by our inability to love, by our mistakes, what we're really missing out on is life. What we're really missing out on is
everything.
The mercy of God.
Yeah.
Because when God created us, he created us in his likeness. Now we can think, hey, look, I look like God. God has a beard just like me. Well, if he's bald like me too. No, it's not about the physical, tangible things that we see. And so if I can define myself by the love of God, one of the things that many young adults, teenagers, even older adults struggle with is when I look in the mirror, seeing what God sees when he sees me. For most of us who suffer from depression, which I have in the past, what I see is a steaming pile of crap staring back at me. Where's the utility in that? Where's the goodness in that? Where's the love in that? When all I can see is my weakness, it's hard for me to understand the mercy of God. It's hard for me to understand that I need a Savior because I feel like I'm not worthy of being saved. And so how then do we get past that? Well, let's go back to who we are. Define myself by love, not by what I can do. And it begins to start that process of putting God first. Now, it's a specific intentional choice that we have to choose Christ every time. So when our Protestant brothers and sisters come and say, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? When we hear those red flags go off, warning, but it's very true in the sense that we have to choose Christ every day as our personal Lord and Savior, because if we don't, we fall back into sin.
I mean, So, you know, here we're here in Oklahoma. This is the buckle of the Bible Belt.
Oh, yeah.
And so as Catholics, I think it's easy to kind of throw that all that Protestant verbiage out the window. Like, I don't want anything to do with that.
Yeah.
But it is true. You do need to accept Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And I do it every Sunday right here on my tongue. You know, when I receive Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. But so what I want to get to, back to this whole about love, you know, being loved. Patrick Coffin had a priest on his show one time, and he just gave a talk here this last week, and he brought this up again. And so I think it's very fitting. A priest asked him, said, oh, you know what? I'm going to save this story for when we get back from the break, because it's a good story. You're listening to The Catholic Man Show. Typically with Adam Minahan and David Niles. We are ex-Adam Minahan. We are 86 Adam Minahan today. But we have Father Danny Grover with us today. So I call that a win. We'll be right back. We got to take our last break. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass. Show. I'm David Niles.
And I'm Father Danny Grover.
And this is The Catholic Man Show.
Woohoo!
If you're feeling lightheaded,
it's not my fault.
That does not surprise me. We are dealing with high levels of manliness today on the episode. Be careful. I hope that you can withstand it. If you are, like I said, if you're struggling, turn the volume down. Maybe take a
breather.
Pause, hit the pause button, go outside, get some fresh air.
And that's if you get to the podcast.
Drink some water.
Water's good.
Yeah, if you're driving, pull over.
Agua de Vida. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Water of life.
That's what we're drinking. If you're driving, I hope you're not
I hope you're not drinking and driving.
I hope you're not drinking what we're drinking.
No.
But
no. Drink water.
Yes. Just the regular kind.
The regular.
Anyway, I want to get back to the story because, you know, this is a big topic.
It is, very much so.
And we are limited on time. So Patrick Coffin had this priest on his show. And the priest asked him, Patrick, is it more important to love or to be loved? And, you know, Patrick, and I myself, when I heard this story the first time, I was like, oh, it's more important to love, obviously. But the priest said, no, it's more important to be loved. Because the first thing is, you cannot give what you do not have.
True.
And if you don't first embrace this, I am loved, then all you see is this steaming pile of crap in the mirror.
Yep.
And the truth is, you are a steaming pile of crap.
Amen.
Okay?
The smelliest of the smelly.
If it's just you, and I am not loved, and if you don't know that, if you haven't embraced it, then yes, of course that's what you see in the mirror. But when you know, and you come to know that I am loved, now you see, yes, this is who I am, but I have been redeemed.
Amen.
And it's not just like the Lutheran steaming pile of crap covered in a blanket of snow, you know, that is now appears white. No, no, no. We are truly redeemed from the inside out. I mean, we become a new creation through baptism. And so I just thought that was interesting. And then it's like, from then on out, once you realize that, now go in love.
Yeah.
Okay. It's like, that should be your focus on, you know, your day-to-day activity. But it's that foundational understanding comes first, that I am loved.
Yeah. And what's interesting is when we talk about love, especially when I talk about it in the high school, we don't understand truly what love is. And so I always ask the students, well, what is love?
Exactly.
And of course, as soon as I say that, the what is love? Baby, don't hurt me. It's like, no. Not the song from the 90s. That's not what I'm talking about. We all watched Night at the Roxbury. I understand that's not what I'm talking about.
Right.
I'm talking about what truly is the definition of love. So the definition that I base all of this on, faultier or truthful, whatever, is that love is the total and complete self-gift from one to another, expecting nothing in return.
Yes.
And if I receive that, then it's natural then that I want to share it. Because love cannot be held to yourself. It must, by definition, be shared.
Yes.
And what's amazing about this is when we're talking about, I always love talking about this, and St. Augustine is one of my go-tos. If God is love, God must be then a trinity of persons, because the Father must love the Son must love the Father, and that bond of love that they share, that gift, is the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's beautiful. It helps us to put a physical understanding with the limited knowledge and the limited vocabulary that we have, here's who God is.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can start from that, we can begin to say, here's who I am. I hear people all the time inside the confessional, outside the confessional, say, Father, I'm struggling with seeing who I am. I said, that's because you're defining yourself by the wrong words.
You need to go on a spiritual walkabout. I'm so glad that's your reaction. That is my exact reaction right here. People are like, I'm going on a walkabout. Or when I hear people say, I just need to find myself. It's like,
okay, you're right there in front of me.
Like, well, whatever it is that you're about to do, you're not going to find yourself there.
You're not going to find the answer you're looking for.
Try adoration.
Exactly. Because when we are subsisting in ourselves, when we are stuck with just me and myself and I, you're not going to progress.
Right. Because our identity is a heavenly identity.
It is. By saying we are created in the image and likeness of God, it therefore says I cannot do this alone.
Okay, so let me ask you this question, because this is a topic I have a lot of questions on and fewer answers.
Yeah.
Okay, I know that man is generic, you know, man and woman, the race of man, created in the image of likeness of God because, like you said, God the Father loves the Son, that Jesus Christ returns the love of the Father, and that love is the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Okay, so me as a man, I have love for my wife. I give that love to her. She receives it and gives it back to me, and in so doing, gives birth to the third, who, you know, our children, okay? And so, as a couple, we are in the image of the Trinity in a very, very obvious way. I see that. But what about just me by myself? You know, I know that because you're a priest, there are people who never married, you know, they're just single. They're still created in the image and likeness of God.
Just single? That's a vocation. Come on, David.
Oh, I mean, just by themselves, you know.
I understand what you're
saying. It's not a de minimis term.
Man.
Yeah.
Yes, so looking at the vocations, we've got the married life, which is, in this life, the closest we can get to mirroring the Trinity is the love between a husband and wife with the potentiality of a child. That is the closest, as human persons, that we can get to mirroring that bond of love of God.
Yeah.
Now, for those of us who are in one of the other two vocations, either the single life or the religious life vocation, it's a little different.
Mm-hmm.
And the way I kind of try and look at it is, how can I, in every interaction that I have, see the other person as Christ? It's not quite the same, but it does allow me to integrate the love of God, receive that gift, and to share that gift, not to hold it to myself. So how can I see Christ in these other people and share with them that love? Again, as you were talking about that story with Patrick Coffin, how do I share with them that love that I have first received?
Mm-hmm.
So by me sharing that gift of love with them, planting those seeds, that fruit from that relationship then is that third person.
I'm glad you said fruit, because I think that's what it's all about. I mean, like you said, in married life, the fruit are children.
The fruit of your loins.
It's a very obvious, it's like almost annoying fruit. I mean, there are many times when it's, you know, it's like very frustrating, especially like 3 a.m., you know, like you get rather annoyed at 3 o'clock in the morning.
I don't have to worry about that one.
Right. So, but for, you know, someone who's not married, the fruit is just not, the physical manifestation of it just isn't there. And so it's less obvious.
Well, it's like, for example, one of the ways that I see that fruit born in my own ministry is when I have put a lot of time into a homily, when I've put a lot of prayer, a lot of study, a lot of work into putting a homily together, and then I deliver it, and I think to myself, that is the largest pile of dung that has ever come from my lips. And then I have someone come back to me and say, Father, that's exactly what I need to hear.
That happens all the time to Adam and I.
It does, and you know what it means? It means the Lord's in charge.
That's right.
Not me. It's God's ministry. I'm his hands and feet.
I can't tell you how many times Adam and I have recorded an episode and said, that's the worst. We've almost not aired stuff because it was so bad. And then we's like, well, we don't have time to do anything else. We have to. And so we air it. And then we get more emails about, like, this is the best one you've ever done. And it's like,
And do you know why?
Well, I think a lot of it is just the Holy Spirit wants to make increase our humility and remind us that it's His work, not ours.
That's exactly what it is, because when we rely solely on ourselves, we are stuck with the subsistent me, myself, and I.
Right.
But when we say, you know what, nothing good can come from this, what we're really doing is doubting God's ability.
Mm-hmm.
And by saying, you know what, I'm going to put this out there, and God, you've got to do the rest.
Right.
And that's really what we're called to do in everything, mm-hmm. to do our best. And
right. We do our best.
Yes.
Not just like, oh, well, God's going to take care of it. So
I don't care.
I don't need to study for my test.
Yeah,
No.
God helps those who help themselves first.
Correct.
Now, sometimes we still screw that up,
mm-hmm.
but God can still work in that screw up.
Right. Yeah. We cooperate.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting, when I talk to my parishioners at both parishes and then at the high school, I tell them the three most humbling moments of my life, which were failing out of college.
Nice.
Almost getting kicked out of seminary.
Ooh.
And then my house being destroyed by a tornado.
Oh, that's bad.
Are the three most graced moments in my life when
really?
I look back.
Really?
Because God worked through others and I had to rely on others. I had to realize that I'm not perfect. The uh-huh. world doesn't revolve around me, and that silver lining of God's grace and mercy is always there if I'm willing to see it. The struggle, though, is when we're in the midst of chaos, many times we are just so such navel gazers. We are just at ourselves that we can't see the hand of God working in and through those events.
Yeah.
So even with a tornado, you're like, oh my gosh, that's horrible. We came out on top financially. The amazing part of bringing our whole family together, the fact that we had a crucifix on the back wall that was just moved over a little bit in our backyard, the whole fence was gone, the whole garage that we had back there was gone, but we had a St. Francis statue that just fell over.
Yeah.
And this one was, that's amazing.
Right.
It kind of goes back to that.
He's just smelling the grass.
Exactly. It's one of those, when we go back to, when we make a plan, when we think things are horrible, God laughs at us and says, ha, believe me, it'll work out.
You know, I've always been surprised when, like, there are people who think the world revolves around them. Like, you know, we all know those people. It just always surprises me because, like, I thought everybody knew the whole time it's over been here revolving around me.
No.
Well, you know, it's like, it doesn't revolve around you. It's been revolving around me the whole time, okay?
Like, yeah. Well, it's like in philosophy, they talk about your death is a tragedy, my death is the end. And so
right.
When things impact others, like, oh, I'm so sorry for you. What do you mean this happened to me? And living and growing up in Moore, Oklahoma, living through the May 3rd tornado, living through the May 8th tornado, oh, these are horrible things, and I went and helped out. What do you mean this is my neighborhood? What
Wait,
do you mean?
It was my house?
My house, the neighborhood
Are
I went
you
to,
serious?
The grade school that I went to is one of the two that was destroyed. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
It's much more impactful the closer it is in proximity to us. But that doesn't change the ability for God to have grace that's efficacious.
Mm. Good last words to end the show. Father Danny, thank you so much for driving all the way from Oklahoma City to be here with us today.
Anytime.
Today we were drinking Four Roses Bourbon Small Batch. We talked about the Divine Mercy images, the man gear. You are made in the image and likeness of God. Go forth and be loved, my brothers.
Amen.
We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass and cheers to Jesus.
Amen.